things happened since we signed off yesterday. Shortly after we signed off, the Denver Broncos did inform Russell Wilson that they plan to release him. So that's, you've heard it. You've heard it a million times over. Now we're going to bust into that conversation. It's all over. It's finally over. Finally, 2 years, Angel. 2 years, this Russell Wilson. The contract extension, he never played a game. He never played a down in that new contract. So we're going to get into that today. The poll question of the day. The Chipper's Lanes / 2454 West poll question of the day is, which was worse, the trade or the contract extension? And I think the obvious answer to everybody is, hey, no, the extension was. But what if I told you that those two things are the same? Angel, Russell Wilson had a no-trade clause in his contract with Seattle. He had to waive that in order to be traded. You think that he waived that thinking, yeah, I'm just going to go sign 2 years with a team randomly and then I'm out to sea? I don't think so. I mean, I don't have that for a fact, but we're gonna talk about that. I got some good guests coming on the show today. Hugh Millen, a friend of ours, former quarterback in the NFL, obviously does radio in the Seattle market, spent a lot of time talking about Russell Wilson, so we're going to ask him, you know, his thoughts on that, that maybe to, in order to complete the trade in the first place, you probably needed to have a contract ready to go. Whatever Russ ultimately wanted in order to waive that, because he didn't want to be traded. The reason why the Seattle media, they were so staunch in their belief that Russ is not going anywhere was because that Russ didn't want to go anywhere. He was good to finish out that contract with Seattle, but when it started to happen and the rumors picked up and teams started inquiring, it became, okay, they probably don't want me here after 2 years. I want to go somewhere that wants me after 2 years. So whether it was the Broncos or the Steelers or whatever that ultimately would have ended up getting Russ, I believe that they are one and the same, that in order to complete this trade and for Russ to waive the no-trade clause, he wanted a guarantee. He wanted to sign a long-term contract. He wanted to finish his career with whoever that was, that he would be willing to uproot his family and move on from everything that he's known as far as being a pro. And we're going to get into that today. So there's a lot to this. There's a lot to it, man. And it's crazy that it's over. Big Hub starting us off on the First Advantage text line. I have to know, Brady, why does everyone hate Russell? The Broncos wanted him. He had a bad coach in his first year. And then Sean Payton and him didn't mesh. But he wasn't bad. Okay, he wasn't a bad guy or he wasn't a bad player? He says, please help me understand. Well, you got to document everything, Angel, and you kind of got to mod. And this doesn't tell the entire story, but from day one, people had issue with Russell Wilson. The let's ride stuff, the airplane, the high knees, the Wolverine blood, all of those things annoyed people. They annoyed people about Russ, who he was. Didn't hate him, but then you go, all right, well, if he's a killer on the field, then none of that stuff will matter. We can put up with a lot. And Big Hub says, as a player, he wasn't, was he bad? He's not Zach Wilson, but he wasn't good. And so, and again, you love when I come at you with this, Angel, when I say Michael Porter Jr. might have 15 points and you'll go, hey, at least he's producing. And you and I go rounds on this. But for what the contract is, you're expected to do more. And Brady, that's not your money. You don't have to worry about that. That's the Nuggets. Well, because of that contract, you're not allowed to go get another two players that would really help your roster out. Now, that's that same kind of argument. With Russ, you sign that big of a contract, it does cripple you a bit. The draft picks, the ability to go sign a couple of big-name free agents, which is what we're already going to see this year because of the Russ contract. So if you're not going to play up to or close to what that contract says, then it's, yeah, you've overspent. And Russ didn't meet the expectations, and it would be a bust considering the contract. So we'll get into it, but yeah, let's just reminisce here a bit. It was the worst of time. What's the saying? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. There was a moment we thought maybe it was the best of times, but for the most part, it was kind of clunky.
Tom Pelissero reports that there is a deal in principle to send 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos.
Wow. Come on, y'all. Russell Wilson. Holy. Very exciting.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Wilson throwing it. It's intercepted. Picked off around the 42-yard line by Legarius Sneed.
Hey, you want to split this Subway sandwich? It is my signature sandwich. It's called the Danger Witch, and it's dangerously good.
Tough, smart, accurate, athletic. I mean, go into the dictionary, and you'll see Wilson there smiling. The big old smile, because that's who he is.
Wilson throws on the run, and it is intercepted!
Feeling better every day, you know, day by day. Obviously, it happened Monday night, but I heal quick. I don't know if it's Wolverine blood.
The whole world out there is full of people that hate and fear you, and you're wasting your time trying to protect them. I got better things to do.
You ever done anything dangerous?
I assume if I send some text messages to somebody that's on the Denver Broncos team, they would send back that they were trying to sleep, not actually asleep. Trying to sleep. The reason they couldn't sleep is because at 40,000 feet, there is a f***ing guy doing high knees in the aisle.
Yep.
Who is their starting quarterback.
To make it a 60-yard attempt. Wilson lost the football, rolling towards the sideline, picked up by the Jets. It's Hall, and he goes.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Yeah, that maybe doesn't tell the entire story. There were moments where it seemed like Russ might be back, and most moments told us that maybe this is just who he is right now. Listen. I'm not going to paint Russ. I'm not really going to try to go to the extreme and paint him as this awful guy that was difficult to work with, that was ridiculous to work with. I know we kind of went that route last week with one of the poll questions. But you have to have a bad guy in all this. And maybe it was the Broncos. George Payton, you know, he signed off on the trade. He signed off on the extension. It was their fault. You know, you gave the keys to this guy. Maybe not doing enough research about Russ. And maybe not... You know, having your analytical guys look at it and go, yeah, he could be on the downtrend of his career. This goes back to a couple of problems right off the bat. The hiring of Nathaniel Hackett. You hire a rookie head coach. Anytime you hire a rookie head coach, there's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be a time where they don't maybe do the same things that an Andy Reid's going to do. They don't make the right decisions. They're learning on the fly. Some guys surprise you. You know, some guys come in and DeMeco Ryan's it, you know, and they just, they handle it well with their very first job. But the more and more we're hearing about this, George Payton hired Nathaniel Hackett to try to get Aaron Rodgers to Denver. And that is such a risky, terrible, terrible move. Because first off, what if it doesn't work out? Well, it didn't. Okay, now what? You hired this coach in hopes you'd get Aaron Rodgers. Did you believe in the coach in the first place? Or did you just think, hey, we get him here, we'll get Rodgers here, the rest will sort itself out. Rodgers will overcome any of the issues that Hackett has. He'll help make those in-game decisions. He's not going to have issues at the line of scrimmage. It's Aaron Rodgers. But then if it doesn't work out, okay, now what? Hackett, we didn't really believe that he'd be a great coach. Can he take Drew Locke and... work him up to be an excellent quarterback? Probably not. So we're going to have to go big. Even though we didn't get Rodgers, we're going to have to settle for something else, which was, at the time, a huge deal. We were all excited about it, Angel. You dug up, when was this? March what of 2022?
March 8th.
March 8th of 2022. You have my reaction to this. Were we live? I mean, was it happening that day? So we got it like that day, we found out. So I'm going to be fair. I loved it. Absolutely. Let's find out for sure how I felt. Snip snap all day long. I've been on a roller coaster of emotions. It's just absolutely nuts right now. Oh, I got to catch my breath. No Aaron Rodgers. He's staying in Green Bay. Like a historic deal. And then Russell Wilson. The Broncos come out of nowhere and find a way to get a Russell Wilson deal done, and it's absolutely blowing my mind. This has got to be the most emotional Broncos day ever. And I'm talking about more emotional than even when Peyton Manning signed, because you go from thinking you're going to get Aaron Rodgers to thinking you're going to end up with Drew Locke or whatever to, wait a second, there's still light. You're getting Russell Wilson. And there was a legitimate argument between the two. Russell Wilson or Rodgers, who would you rather have? Oh my goodness, this is absolutely wild. To be fair, Angel, I mean, all those things are true. It was an emotional day. It was kind of a snip-snap, boomerang-type feel that day. And from that, I wasn't necessarily over the top. It was more about the move. I mean, you tell me what you gathered from that.
I mean, I just think back to it, and there was a lot of excitement, a lot of, you know, poll questions that followed that day of how many Super Bowls are we going to win and all that stuff.
Wait. You can prove that that was my poll question that day?
It was either yours or the morning show, or you went back and forth.
Yeah.
But it was a big topic of conversation.
Yeah. Why would that be a bad poll question to ask, though? Because Russell Wilson...
I'd say it was a bad question.
But he's been to two. He won one. So I think that conventional wisdom would tell you, yeah, there's a good chance he's going to win another one. So nobody was right in this. Nobody said... I don't think there were many people that said this was not going to be a good thing for the Broncos. To ask the question of how many Super Bowls will Russ win, he was a top-tier quarterback at that time when he came to Denver. He was still considered tier one of quarterbacks. So if you were over the moon, you should have been. You might want to check your pulse. I do have one person that listens to this show, lives in Wyoming, who hated this thing from the beginning. He's just a follower of mine. And I don't want to shout him out, you know, unless he doesn't want me to. But he was pretty critical of it. So I did have listeners that were critical. It's not like everybody was in on this. But again, Russell Wilson, tier one quarterback, brand new head coach, felt like a new era, felt like a new time for the Broncos. But I didn't sense I was over the top.
You were excited.
I was excited. I've always been a fan of Russell Wilson. You know, I think that a lot of people that watch Seattle over the years would tell you that if he can do that kind of stuff for the Broncos, this could be exciting. But Russ kind of proved, at least these last 2 years, that maybe he was a byproduct of a really good system for him that knew his strengths and knew his weaknesses. And Hackett was clearly, and we're finding that out more so now, clearly not a coach that could come in and take a quarterback and figure out what makes him tick, what works. He just said, it's your world, we're just living in it. And Russ took advantage of the situation. So the whole thought of, well, yeah, but Hackett, let him do it. Russ took advantage of that. Russ was a veteran quarterback. I mean, a guy like Peyton Manning comes in. Again, we're comparing apples to oranges now, especially now. Manning wants to go, how do I win a Super Bowl? Tom Brady wants to go, how do I win a Super Bowl? What do I got to do? Can I get my own office so I can, you know, do stuff up there? Those kind of guys, and I could be wrong, did Tom Brady have an office when he was in New England? I mean, maybe he earned it down the road, but I just think those kind of asks and, you know, Hub asking about him as the player, he separated himself. He tried to separate himself and be an elite class compared to everybody else. And that's what I'm going to ask this rookie coach if I can have an office. Well, the rookie head coach is already freaking out and drooling over the idea that Russ is coming to Denver. So, of course, Hackett's going to do this. You're the guy that they invested everything in. You traded a first-round pick, two second-round picks, Drew Locke, Shelby Harris, Noah Fant, players that may or may not end up working out in this league. And all three of those guys could – Shelby Harris has obviously had a decent career – Noah Fant and Drew Locke could end up working out in this league. So you gave up so much to get him. Heck yeah, Hackett, you bow down to Russ. This is Russ's team now. You're the guy. Dixon says, nobody would care about having an office or not if he won games. 100%. We wouldn't care about any of this crap. You put up with a lot. I did a speech in college on Terrell Owens about how he's that good of a receiver, so you put up with a lot of the stuff that happens off the field and a lot of the drama, not showing up at camp, holding his own workout in his front yard and asking media to come cover that. You put up with that because he's that good. But he wasn't. From day one, he wasn't. And you saw it, and we saw it every single game. It would play out, and you go, that doesn't seem like what we saw in Seattle. That doesn't seem like what it was like in Seattle. What's wrong? Is Hackett not figuring out they can't get the play in? He's not throwing in the middle of the field, and when he does, he's throwing interceptions. So over time, it got worse. We said that at the beginning, Angel. You were critical of all the Wolverine blood stuff, and as I recall— You were critical of, I know Tanner was critical of this on the morning show, of all of the kind of goofy stuff. I was of the mindset that, hey, it's not that big a deal to me. But then when the losses started to happen and his play wasn't Seattle Russ, you started to look back at that and go, oh, well, that I guess that makes sense. He didn't have the right guy that could control this stuff. And then you thought, could Sean Payton be the guy? Well, Sean Payton didn't sign up for this. He signed up to be the coach of the Broncos. But he also probably knew in signing the contract that if I don't like him, I get to move him, right? Otherwise, I'm probably not signing. Guarantee you that came up. And it didn't work out. Russ needs a specific kind of coach, which I guess speaks very highly of what Pete Carroll did in Seattle. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The good is that, hey, it's over. It was stressful. It was dividing. Divisive, I suppose, for Broncos country. We've even got Chiefs fans now fighting for Russ. Well, because, yeah, you want Russ to be a Bronco. You don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about Russell Wilson taking Patrick Mahomes' throne. You don't have to worry about that. The bad for me is also that it's over. It was supposed to be Peyton Manning. Oh, we had such great times there. Are you kidding me? In the span of 6 years, whatever it was, 5-6 years, the Broncos went through some tough times, but they're going to get right back on top because they brought in a Hall of Fame quarterback. It sucks, man. I can't say this enough. I loved watching Russell play in Seattle. The games that I would get to watch, I didn't watch every single weekend of Russ, but I enjoyed watching him as a player, and it's bad that we didn't get to see that. There were times where it looked like it was on the verge of getting better, but just not consistent enough. And the ugly is ultimately going to be the cap hit. What comes after? $85 million in dead money is now what the Broncos are stuck with. Right move, good move to do this. It was the right move. We knew it was over. I agree, we knew it was over. Ultimately knew it was over the second that Russ was told, however you want to phrase it, that if you don't adjust this contract, you might be benched. We knew it was over then. And then when Russ opened up in the locker room about it, we knew it was over even more so. And then when Russ got on the podcast networks and started going out and talking about this and just rehashing everything, we knew it was over then. That's why I put out the whole minute last week. I'm not buying it, Russ. You don't want to be back in Denver. And Sean Payton and company are done with you too. So maybe it'll work out for both. The Broncos might be in a situation where they are now preparing for a purge, a bad season, time to move on from contracts. Your boy Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton all putting out the fingers crossed emojis last night. Good. Go with Russ. See how that works out for you. I'm ready to tear this thing down to the studs. Call it what it is. Draft your quarterback at number 12. Stop screwing around. No Jameis Winston. Don't even call about Kirk Cousins. It ain't going to work. He's not going to come here for nothing. You just got to go with a rookie quarterback and say, hey, Sean Payton, let's see what you can do. Well, Brady, he's worked with Drew. He's never worked with a rookie quarterback. He didn't have to. I hate that argument so much. Sean Payton's never been tasked with that because he had Drew Brees. Why would you want him to work with a rookie quarterback? You had a Hall of Famer for most of your career as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. So why would you dare say, the argument of he's never worked with a rookie quarterback, why would you dare go there? You haven't seen it. You absolutely haven't seen it. So let's find out. Love it or hate it, Sean Payton's the guy the Broncos are committing to. And if you don't think that when he signed that paperwork, when he signed that contract at the beginning of the year, you don't think he looked at them and said, "Hey, if I think that Russ isn't going to work out, can we move on? Are we prepared to do that?" Absolutely, we are prepared if you feel like it, but we want you to give it the best shot you can. And maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but it's over now. 26 minutes after the hour. Hugh Millen coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to him, get his thoughts, because he's a Seattle guy. He covered this dude. So you guys think I'm wrong about the history of Russell Wilson so much and that it wasn't that bad in Seattle? Let's talk to Hugh about that. This is a guy that covered him on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. We'll get his thoughts coming up at the bottom of the hour, 30 minutes or 27 minutes after the hour. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
If you like podcasts, we podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfk.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Isaiah Stevens, guard for the CSU Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A lot of aftermath today of the Russell Wilson situation. He is a Denver Bronco no more. I'll get into more of that. Hugh Millen coming up in about 4 minutes. B-Rad says on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You don't think they could trade some picks for Cousins? Oh, wait, they don't have any. They can't kick in cash? Oh, wait. They have $85 million in dead cap. How does George still have a job? And I maintain that they want George to handle the financials right now. Sean's going to be in charge of personnel, player stuff, working out the game plans, depth charts, all of that. And I could be wrong because I'm trying to make sense of it. Hiring Hackett was bad, probably fireable. Trading for Russ and then doing the contract extension. And stop being that guy that goes, "Well, yeah, but you agreed with the move." I'm not the general manager of the Denver Broncos. I'm not the guy in control of their bank account. I'm not the guy who has to look at it and go, "Well, what if he doesn't work out in 2 years and you sign this extension with him? That's $250 million. What if that doesn't work? Well, then we're going to end up at $85 million in dead cap money." It's easy for us to go get on Madden and willy-nilly go sign a guy and whatever happens, happens. This is his job every single day. And so if you're critical, you should be. You should be critical of what George Payton did. All right, Hugh Millen coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Ah, yes, Russell Wilson is no longer a Denver Bronco. And it wasn't that long ago we were talking to the guy we have on the First Advantage hotline right now about what that might look like. For Broncos fans, a big story came out in the four-lettered network about how things kind of went down in Seattle. And so there was reasons to be concerned. This guy outlined that for us. Hugh Millen, football analyst for KJR in the Seattle market. And Hugh, my man, you know, I always love catching up with you on air, off the air, whenever. But I had to reach out to you because we're done. We're done with the Russ stuff, just like that. It's over.
Yeah, Brady. Yeah, man. I remember back to those times, and of course, I up in Seattle. I'm an analyst, and I studied all the Russell Wilson tape. So some of those conversations was like, you know, walking around eggshells, you know, because you don't want to. I mean, we talked about his strengths. His strengths were real, and then. But then when you say, okay, these are the shortcomings, this is why Seattle likely made the decision, you know, then that was, you know, unfortunately for us Bronco fans, that came into evidence all too much.
And of course, Hugh Millen played for the Broncos for a bit during his NFL career. Hugh, those shortcomings we talked about, and again, so much has happened over the last 2 years. We started to see weird stuff, you know, high knees in the airplane, Wolverine blood, let's ride, all those things, the office he wanted, things like that. Were those kind of things going on in Seattle where fans were kind of like, he's kind of annoying, he's kind of all about himself, but he's winning football games, he's putting together big games, big numbers out there. Was that what we saw the last 2 years with the Broncos? Was that kind of what it was like in Seattle?
Well, I think he really changed. I think he was a kind of a humble third rounder when he came in, and you know, we didn't see any of that stuff. There were certainly hosts on our radio station that by the end were saying, "Hey, you know, he's kind of douchey with some of this stuff," you know, it seemed like once he hooked up with Sierra that accelerated, you know, and just, you know, weird photos and a whole myriad of things. But, you know, I think some of our guys said, well, yeah, but he's our douchey, you know, because yeah. he was playing well. I think it probably undermined his capacity to be a leader. And I think, you know, there was a story that came out, I think it was Seth Wickersham may have been there, but there was an article, you know, is Russell Wilson black enough, you know, and, you know, which is a sensitive topic. It's certainly sensitive for white people to talk about that. You know, I think, you know, my experience being around NFL locker rooms back around the league, you know, there's, I think one of the great things about sports is that it does unite, and I think the players have respect for each other. You know, it's kind of a meritocracy. You know, it's just the best, whoever the best players are going to play. And so watching how, you know, all people can come together on a team is one of the, you know, fulfilling parts of being an athlete and being a sports fan, really, is to watch how that comes together. But, you know, there's, you know, in the socialization, I would say it's certainly an integrated locker room. But, you know, you'll see, you know, the brothers like to chop it up and how they do, and the white dudes kind of do it. And, you know, there's still intermingling across it. But, you know, there's a certain way. And Russ just had that kind of, I think, you know, there was a lot of the black dudes from the Seahawks would say Russ is kind of like an Urkel. You know, he just has an awkward way of getting along, and that was, I think, the thrust of the piece that asked what, you know, whether he's black enough. So I think that was all fine when you're winning, you know, but then when you lose, you know, that quirkiness becomes, now it's like, okay, the spotlight really shines bright on that. And you know, the salient part of that discussion is, okay, how is that going to affect his ability to lead his teammates? Because that's essential at that position.
Hugh Millen, quarterback, former quarterback, football analyst for KJR, covering the Seattle Seahawks, so covered a lot of Russell Wilson stuff over the years. Hugh, what do you know about the contract extension? There is a belief here in Colorado, because we're doing the poll question, which was worse, the trade or the contract extension? There is kind of a growing belief in Colorado that maybe those were one and the same, that in order for Russ to ultimately waive the trade, the no trade clause, he was going to waive that for a team that would agree to sign him for a contract extension. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, yeah, Mark Rogers is agent. He's primarily a baseball agent. I don't even know if he has, maybe he's acquired some sense, but there was a time where his only football client was Russell Wilson. And I don't think he was concerned with the niceties and staying popular with the front offices of the various teams because of the next clients that he'll be representing. I think Mark Rogers was just kind of this, kind of a bulldog. Every contract negotiation with Seattle, it felt like that camp, the Rogers-Wilson camp, was going to extract every drop of blood out of the Seahawks. And they were going to, it generally followed an Aaron Rodgers contract within a few months after Aaron Rodgers' contract. So if you just look at the timeline, and so they were always saying, well, Aaron Rodgers is getting this. And so, and now you tell me, what football fan thinks that Russell Wilson, even at that time, deserves to be in the Aaron Rodgers class, but that's what they did and that's what they were able to get. So I think they always played hardball, that, and I think that absolutely was a prerequisite. That's an essential part of the story, is that he had no trade, and for him to waive it, it had to be under the conditions that he wanted. And I think that they had to extract that concession.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of people are, rioting in the streets today, Hugh, trying to get Broncos general manager George Payton, wondering why he has a job. And again, they go to that, but they also go to, I don't disagree with the trade because we were all excited about Russ, and we were. But the contract extension. But that's where I say, hey, you got to have it all. If you were excited about the trade, the only way you're getting him is if Russ is willing, or if the Broncos are willing to sign that contract extension. Was that the right move overall? Well, obviously now it's not. But I think to defend Broncos general manager George Payton for a second, if you were cool with the trade, then that was it, because the trade doesn't happen if Russ doesn't feel like he's going to be able to quickly sign over a contract extension.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that you weren't going to get Russ without the contract extension, for sure. There's a risk involved, obviously. There was some probability greater than zero and less than 100 that he'd be a bust. Whatever that probability is, we don't even really know. It might have only been a 1 in 5 probability he'd be a bust, and unfortunately, the 1 in 5 hit, but I would say that we're all, the fans that you're talking about, we're just sitting around and being fans and saying, okay, yeah, I've watched the Seahawks. I watched them in the Super Bowl against us. I know he's made some Pro Bowls. I watched him on Monday Night Football. Russell Wilson, yeah, he's really good to my knowledge. It's not the fans' job to see the future. It's the general manager's job to see the future. It was George Payton's obligation to look at Russell as a player, his age, his weight, the quirkiness of however he may have changed. He became a diva. If you did your homework, I mean, he really flipped, and people on the inside in with the Seahawks just talked about how he became uncoachable. Like, he was supposed to know that, and he was supposed to he's supposed to see the future, because think of it like this. Players or general managers, if you hit on a guy and he's a lot, you get a guy in the fifth round and he turns out to be a Pro Bowl player, well, everybody's going to sing your praises. And he didn't know when he, for example, Richard Sherman as a fifth rounder, Cam Chancellor, I'm just talking about Seahawks. I'm trying to think of, just examples. Those guys were multiple Pro Bowl players, maybe Hall of Fame players. And when you draft those guys and they play well, you get a lot of credit. And you say, man, you saw the future in that. Now you'd say, well, if we'd have known he'd be that good, we'd have got him before the fifth. We wouldn't have waited to the fifth round. But I think that's the job. That's what the job is to assemble the team, have a picture of how is this player going to fit on our team in our locker room with our people doing our schemes, and see the future. The fans they see the past and they can kind of guess about the future. That's not their job. They don't work the 80-hour weeks to put the pieces together. And so I do think you judge general managers in all sports in that regard. And if you have a bust like this, that the idea of somehow lifting or and absolving George Payton. I don't buy it at all.
I mean,
if somebody says he deserves to be fired over that, I wouldn't argue with that for a second.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on all that, because when you look at it, the fans, media people, whatever, we all kind of just assume with a general manager that you are doing all the things that you just said. You're doing your homework. We know it's Russell Wilson. We know what we see on Sundays, and you know we know what we've seen in the Super Bowl. We certainly know what we saw when Seattle dismantled the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Right.
We know all those things. It's the general manager's job to go, hey, is that still the same guy? Is there, you know, exactly. did he get a new relationship that might have changed him a bit? Is he more of a diva these days? Is he still the same quarterback physically? Is he going to come into Denver with these ridiculous asks? Because when Seattle drafted him, he was, as you said, humble third-round guy. By the time the Broncos got him, he was on his way to the Hall of Fame. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, he thinks he should be an MVP. So the Broncos got this quarterback that really, you know, changed mentally. And then, of course, we kind of saw physically, too, the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. You know, and I think the telltale back then was, and what we discussed is, okay, what are the reasons, you know, I laid it out. Look, I don't want to sound like I saw this coming. I don't think anybody saw this coming. But we talked about his attributes. What were his shortcomings? If now we say, what were the signs? What were the signs that could have and should have been reliable indicators of the future? Well, there was problems running the offense. I can remember, you know, I'll just give one example. They play a game against the Cowboys, the very first play of the game. They get in a trips left formation. They run a play called Y-Stick. And now football coaches out there that are listening, everybody knows what Y-Stick is. It's run at the college level. It's run at the pro level. It's run at the high school level. What it is think of three receivers to the left of the quarterback. The widest guy, we call number one, he runs a clear out. He runs a go route. And then number two, the middle guy, he runs a quick out to the flat. And then number three, who's the tight end, which football people call the Y, he runs a stick route. A stick route is like 5 to 7 yards, just go up, and there's kind of a man zone read to it that you can kind of hook it up if it's a zone. If it's man, you run away from it. It's just a little quick out route, five, 6 yard out route. And the ball snapped. He's looking right at it. You can see from the end zone copy that there's no lineman in his vision. The tight end is wide open, and he just bails on the play. And he goes out to the right, and he loses ground. He's the pass rushes up the field, and he ends up having to throw it away out of bounds. I think was the result. And so now it's 2nd and 10, the second play of the football game. Well, you go back and you piece that together, and every single football guy in the universe, if they studied that, they would watch that. They go, "What the hell is he doing? What, you know, it's why you know the sun comes up, the rooster crows, you eat breakfast. There's a certain sequence to this. This is how you play the position. Like you catch the ball. It's 1-2 rocker step." The first receiver's wide open. Just hit him. This, you know, I coach high school football. If I had a ninth grade quarterback that didn't execute that, I'd be looking at him like, we got to talk. And so here now you say, well, everybody can have a bad play. Hugh, you just described one play. I gave you an example of hundreds of plays. You want me to draw up and, you know, describe different plays? No, because we got a one radio segment, but you get the point.
Yeah.
And so that was an issue of just not executing the basic stuff. And then of course he was always, you know, at his heyday, he was electric. He was one of the best. He was arguably in the discussion as the best quarterback off script, but playing, I don't want to say above the X's and O's, because that implies that, oh wow, when things break down, he can make the plays. And yes, that's true. But
but I would say outside the X's and O's, because with him, that was the best way to describe it. He was outside the X's and O's because he wouldn't execute the X's and O's, and so now he wanted to play, playground ball and just turn it into a scramble drill. Well, he was really good at that at one point, but then he got older and heavier, and he kind of lost the touch with that.
Wow, I love that too. Hugh, I'm up against a break, man. But we've got, there's countless examples of that happened in Denver too. And it's hard to script for a guy that goes off script. That's a very difficult thing. Hugh, don't be a stranger, man. I love when we can catch up anytime. I love getting you on this show, man, and just picking your brain about all things football, because Lord knows you certainly know way more than I do.
Well, I always enjoy it, Brady. Call anytime.
Hugh, my man, appreciate you.
Hey. We'll get out of this mess. It'll be interesting to see how the draft goes or who the next guy is, but we'll get out of this mess.
Hey, and when we do, we're getting you back on. We're going to document that. Hugh Millen, appreciate you, man.
All right, Brady.
That's interesting. All right, let's take a break. We're up against the break. Hugh can go, and I love it. That's when you get radio guys on. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
To win $1,000 this year? Keep it here to find out how to enter KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by Summit Spas Windsor and Fort Collins.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
All right, great stuff from Hugh. Hugh Millen's a great dude. And he admits it. He's like, I didn't want to say I saw this coming, but we had him on shortly after some of those pretty damning articles about Russ and his time with Seattle, and he talked about those like almost caution for Broncos fans. Not in a way where he said, "Hey," because every time he was on, he's like, "Hey, I hope it works out. I hope a change of scenery is actually a thing." But there were pitfalls the last couple of years with Russ. And let's talk about, let's kind of react to that conversation. Also, Sean Keeler is going to join me from the Denver Post as well. So a jam-packed day, a lot of Russell Wilson aftermath, and we'll get into some college hoops and Nuggets tonight against the Suns. Big one. We'll be right back.